Let me open, let me stand.
It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Well, I trust today that you are rejoicing in the Lord. And if you're saved, of course, you are rejoicing because you're on your way to heaven. And there's nothing greater than the knowledge of waking up every day, facing a new day, facing that day with the Lord. And I pray that you are facing this day with the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you have not trusted Him, you need to trust Jesus as your Savior. Well, now, we've been looking into the book of Ephesians. We're in chapter 4. And last time we read this verse, and I'm going to read it again. It says, "There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling." That's Ephesians 4 and verse 4. Well, notice the words "one body." And we talked about this the last time in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 17. It says, "Therefore we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread." Now, of course, that one bread, I believe, is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the bread of life, and that's how we all get saved, is through Him, through Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15 says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." Well, there it is again, being happy, being thoughtful of the Lord and remembering that you've been saved, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. That's the reason we can face this world and do the things that God wants us to do, is because of the peace of God, because Jesus Christ first loved us and gave Himself for us on the cross of Calvary. But notice here, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body." And once again, I remind you, I believe that Paul the Apostle here is speaking in the book that we're studying right now, the book of Ephesians. He's writing, of course, to the church at Ephesus. And as he's writing there, he's writing to us as well, because the scriptures are written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And this means that the book that we read, the Bible, and I read the King James Bible, and I believe that is the book that God has given us as His Word. And as we read that, we are reading the breath of God. God has breathed the Word so that we can have peace in our hearts. But notice that the peace of God would rule in our hearts. We're called in one body. Well, the book of Ephesians, once again, I believe Paul is speaking to the church here, but he's also speaking to each individual. But in this particular instance, in Colossians 3:15, he's speaking to one body. We're all one in the Lord Jesus Christ, the body of Christ. And I believe that body is visible. And that body is visible because I'm visible. I'm part of that body. I'm not invisible. We see each other as the children of God. And more importantly, we see each other in a local assembly, a church building, where we assemble ourselves to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And I pray that you belong to a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching local church. Well, notice in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 18, once again, we're looking at one body, but now we look at one spirit. Notice in verse 4 again, it says there's one body and one spirit. Well, Ephesians 2:18 says, "For through Him we both have access by one spirit unto the Father." We look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. It mentions the same thing about the one spirit. It says, "For by one spirit," here we are, we're speaking of one spirit again, "for by one spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one spirit." Everyone is saved the same way. Every person in this world who names Jesus Christ as Savior, they've trusted Him as the Lord, they have the Spirit of the Lord. We're going to look more of that as we continue our study in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, but it says one Spirit. Ephesians 2:18, once again, we have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Every one of us who name Jesus Christ, we have the same ability, the same privilege of approaching God the Father through the Spirit of the Lord. And I believe I made mention of this the last time, that we go to the Lord in prayer. The Holy Spirit takes that prayer and delivers it to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our intercessor, and He takes that prayer to the Father. And of course, we need to be praying like this: if it be your will, Father. We need to ask God to take care of us, even when we're praying and asking Him to take care of us. We need to ask Him in His will. If it be your will, Lord, answer the prayer that I'm praying right now. And when we pray like that, we're asking God, you take charge. You know best. And you can do better than I can, Lord, with whatever I need. You know what I need. And you take it. And Lord, whatever your will is, I'll abide by that. Now in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13, again, it says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. This is not speaking of water baptism. This is speaking of being immersed by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God, and as we study this book in chapter 4 and verse, as we keep going down these verses, we're going to see that the baptism comes the moment that we get saved. We're baptized into one body. How are we baptized? By one Spirit. There's only one Spirit of God. There's not many. There's only one Spirit of God, and we're baptized. We're immersed. We might say that we are immersed into the body of Jesus Christ. There's one body. There's not many. There's only one, the body of Christ. Now notice the word hope in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4. It says, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. We see the word one there several times, don't we? One hope of your calling. Well, in Romans chapter 11, verse 29, the Bible says, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. When God speaks, He says something that He doesn't repent for. In other words, He doesn't. He's not sorry that He's doing a certain thing. Now, we go back in the Old Testament and we read how that it talks about God repenting and so forth. But that's not what it's speaking of here. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. God says what He says. He means what He says, and He says what He means. And when He says something, we need to listen. And the way we listen is through His Word. Now, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 18, it says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Well, you see, when God calls, that means He's speaking to the heart. It doesn't mean He chooses certain individuals to be saved, and He doesn't speak, once again, the people will tell you, some will tell you, that God speaks to those who are already chosen. In other words, they're chosen to go to heaven. They'll tell you that God calls certain individuals for heaven, and other individuals are going to go to hell because he's chosen that. Well, that's a lie from the pit of hell. The Bible says that God chooses everyone. You say, well, how is that? Well, once again, we've spoken of the Spirit. The Spirit of God, the Bible teaches us that the Spirit of God speaks to the individual, every person in this world, and gives them an opportunity to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The Holy Spirit imparts to the human heart, that's the innermost being, He imparts to the human heart that you must be born again if you're going to go to heaven. You must call on the name of the Lord to be saved. And I keep thinking back of Paul the Apostle and Silas as they were in that prison, and they prayed. And as they prayed and they sang, they had a revival meeting there in that old prison. And as they sang and they prayed, the bars, the prison door swung open, and the guard thought that everybody had escaped. and he came in and he was going to kill himself. But Paul said, "Do thyself no harm, because we are all still here." Well, the Philippian jailer said, "What must I do to be saved?" And Paul the Apostle said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Well, at that moment, the Holy Spirit was speaking to this man's heart. The Holy Spirit was speaking to this man, this Philippian jailer, who had bound Paul and Silas and placed them in that prison. The Lord spoke to his heart, and he heard how to be saved. And the Bible tells us that he got saved, and his house. Well, I also see something else when I'm looking at that prison and I see what took place there. The Bible says that the doors swung open. I believe that every prisoner in that place, in that dungeon, that jail, I believe that every door swung open, but none of them left. Paul said, "Do thyself no harm, because we are all still here." Well, that tells me that not only did the Philippian jailer get saved, I believe that those other prisoners who were around Paul and Silas, I believe they as well got saved. They trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Well, how was that? Well, the Spirit of God spoke to them. And I remind you that the Spirit of God uses people. We speak and we tell people how to be saved. It's through the Word of God that we tell them how to be saved. From the Word of God. And then the Holy Spirit takes that, the Word of God, and gives the person the knowledge that they need in order to be saved. In other words, he speaks to the heart, and the heart either responds favorably or the heart does not respond favorably to the Lord. They choose heaven, or, and it's sad, they choose hell. One or the other. There is no straddling the fence. When it comes to knowing Jesus Christ and going to heaven, you either choose him or you don't. And that's another reason that when somebody tells you that God chooses certain individuals to go to hell and certain individuals to go to heaven, that is a lie from the pit of hell, because it's up to the individual to choose whether or not to go to heaven. Now, Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14, Paul the Apostle, he was working for the Lord here, and his hope was based upon the Scripture. Now, of course, the entire Scripture was not written at that time, but when we think back, Paul the Apostle was used of God to pen down over half of the New Testament as we read it, and we're reading one of his epistles right here in Ephesians chapter 4, and if Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14. There was a reason that Paul was willing to do the things of God. First, he had been saved. He knew Jesus Christ as Savior, and he was on a journey, and he was looking to something. He was looking for something, and he was willing to do something. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14, Paul said, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Well, the hope, the prize, the high calling in Jesus Christ. He was looking forward to the prize. The high calling. He said, "I press toward the mark." Well, what is the mark? The mark is the finish line. And next time we're going to finish at the finish line here, and we're going to talk about the finish line that Paul the Apostle was speaking of here in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14. And my question today is, are you serving him? Do you know him as Lord and Savior? If you know him as Lord and Savior, then you need to be serving him. You need to tell other people that Jesus saves, just like Paul and Silas did when that Philippian jailer came in and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." You need to be telling others how they too can go to heaven one day. There's something great getting ready to happen, and I believe that is the rapture of the church when Jesus comes back and says, "Come up hither." Help people to be ready to go with Jesus Christ.